strike, two pitch. Slider, swing and a miss. He struck him out.
Sergio Santos in the top of the eighth inning gives up a double on the first pitch he throws, and the Indians have runners at second and third with one out, but then he strikes out Mark Reynolds, and then he strikes out Lonnie Chisenhall, and that's what you just heard, to keep it a 4-1 ball game. But that was your final score. The Blue Jays had one base runner after the third. 19 of the last 20 Blue Jays that came to the plate were retired. They lay an egg in the season opener, but that's all it was, the season opener. There are 161 games left. They lose to the Cleveland Indians 4-1. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. It's really too bad because there was so much anticipation, so much excitement. The pregame here at Rogers Center was fabulous. A half hour of Tom Cheek video and Mark Burley winning a gold glove, giving R.A. Dickey his Cy Young. Geddy Lee throws out the first pitch. All kinds of excitement, all kinds of energy here in the building. And then the Blue Jays went out and again laid an egg. Through the first three innings, they had Justin Masterson on the rope several times but could not get him. They hit in a little bit of bad luck. A line drive by Melky Cabrera turns into a double play. A rocket up the middle by Adam Lind turns into a double play. But then after the third, that was it. And Asdrubal Cabrera with a two-run homer in the fifth inning that R.A. Dickey could not believe carried out of this ballpark makes it 4-1, and that was it. Let us Blue Jays talk it up. We begin. Our first caller of the 2013 regular season is Brandon in Toronto, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Brandon, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk. Just relax.
I'm not going to rip on Dickey. I'm going to tell you, I think he pitched well. I think he pitched good. I know the score was 4-1, but to me, okay, JP had fault in the first two runs, and Abdul Cabrera's home run was just a bit of luck. I think he pitched good. I'm not going to come out here and say ripping on him. I think he pitched well, and I think the Jays didn't have luck on their side today.
They definitely didn't have luck on their side today, but there is, you know, it doesn't have to be either they were unlucky or he pitched terribly. There is a middle ground. R.A. Dickey, I don't think, pitched well tonight, and I think he'll be the first one to say he didn't pitch well tonight. He walked four guys in six innings, and that matched his season high from last year when he won the Cy Young Award. He wasn't dominant at any point except for that third inning and the sixth inning. In the first, even though he didn't give up a hit, he still threw 21 pitches to get out of the inning. So I think it's tough to say that R.A. Dickey pitched well. He certainly didn't pitch that badly, and most nights he pitched well enough to win, but there wasn't any offense tonight. Thanks for the call, Brandon. Appreciate it. We move on to Jonah in Kingston, also listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk, Jonah.
Thanks, Mike. I was just wondering what you thought about JP working with Dickey tonight. Obviously, there was talk about going with Blanco as a personal catcher during spring training, and obviously it didn't go their way tonight. So do you think that's going to change, or is he going to stick with the plan?
Well, the plan probably always was to have Blanco catch Dickey more often than not. Not necessarily every game, but I don't think that's going to change. I think JP earned this start tonight. He did really, really well with Dickey throughout the spring. Did very well with him in the World Baseball Classic as well. So he earned this, and he had a hard time tonight. And that's going to happen. I mean, there's a reason that whenever that Doug Mirabelli always led the major leagues in pass balls, even though he only caught like 50 games a year, and that's because whoever catches a knuckleballer is going to have a bunch of pass balls all the time. So, yeah, JP had a rough time tonight. I don't expect that to happen every night. I also don't expect Henry Blanco to have to catch every game from here on out that R.A. Dickey pitches. I do, though, think Blanco will probably catch him on Sunday.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Thanks, Jonah. Appreciate the call. We just got word from the official scorer that Michael Bourne now gets a hit. The E5 charged to Meiser Asturias in the top of the seventh inning has been changed to a single. So everybody, if you're scoring at home, change your totals. The Indians now get seven hits to get their four runs, and Michael Bourne is hitting 400 this season instead of 200. Blue Jays lose at 4-1 to the Indians in the opener. Jason in Thornhill, will you restore some order, please?
Of course, Mike, always. You can always count on me, Mike. I just wanted to touch on, aside from the game for a moment, just the crowd in general. I mean, I didn't get a chance to go down tonight. I know you were in the stadium, obviously. I wanted to get your perspective, because from watching at home, I'm sure a lot of people would agree, it didn't look like there was any energy in the crowd at all. And I'm not talking about the later innings when, you know, there were some, they retired like 18 in a row or whatever, but towards the beginning of the game even, there was just no energy there. There were tons of times when there were two strikes, two outs, everybody sitting down. I mean, what's going on there? I mean, how was it for you in person?
Yeah, I think that's kind of typical of this place. There was a lot of energy here at the beginning. There really was. There was a ton of excitement, and the crowd was into it. But yeah, people don't tend to get up and get loud at those moments when you would necessarily hope that they might get up and get loud. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But it is, you know, and Arden Zwelling of Sportsnet magazine mentioned this on Twitter during the game. It's a reactive crowd as opposed to, you know, I hate to say proactive because it's such a buzzword or whatever, but it's a reactive crowd rather than one that tries to get things going. But that's the way it's always been.
Yeah, I know. I just found it interesting. I've been at games in like the middle of August with like half the amount of fans, and it seemed more alive. So it just was kind of alarming to me that with all the hype, I mean, like, you think, you know, you're down a couple of runs, get on your feet, get behind the guys. I mean, you know, it's the first game. What's so worried about? And the second point I had was that I was impressed with the bullpen when they came in after Dickey. Not the best outing, obviously, that he was looking for, but I thought that Cecil pitched well. I thought Loop pitched well. And, you know, even Santos, after the double he gave up, he settled down, got two strikeouts. I think it was back-to-back it was. I don't recall exactly, but I was really impressed with the bullpen, so at least I was encouraging to see.
All right. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it. You're right. Loop, Santos, Cecil all pitched pretty well. In the bullpen to keep the Blue Jays in it and allow them a chance to come back. Unfortunately, they didn't take advantage of that chance to come back. Again, 19 of the last 20 Blue Jays retired in order. Phone lines are open, and we will get to your calls. We will go off the network at the bottom of the hour and move the Blue Jays talk to our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet590.ca until 11 o'clock Eastern time. Right now, though, let's listen in for a couple of minutes on what the skipper had to say. Here's John Gibbons postgame.
Well, I knew I shouldn't have wore that game jersey. Anyway, I know everybody's probably disappointed out there, but we're not. We just, I mean, they played a heck of a game. They pitched really well, and it turned into the, as Drubal Cabrera showed, to be honest with you, the big double play he turned. Could have been a game changer. It was early in the game, and then, of course, the big home run there. So, but they shut us down pretty good.
John, the home run, you could see the look on Ari's face that he wasn't expecting that to go out. Was this just one of those things that just carried in your mind? It just barely got over the fence there tonight.
No, I'll be honest, I thought he hit it pretty good. It's a home run hitting park here. And actually, our whole division, it's a good place to hit a home run. So, that's going to happen. So, I didn't question that. I didn't chalk that up to.
Right here. How'd you feel about Aaron Loop's work in relief today?
Pardon?
How'd you feel about Aaron Loop tonight?
Oh, he was great. I mean, he really was. And then, you know, Sergio came in and pitched great as well. You know, he gave up the leadoff, I mean, the double to the first guy he faced, but then got the two strikeouts. So that's big for him. You know, it's been a while since he's been out there in a game that counts, and he looked good. So, and then Cecil at the end, that was a big outing for him, too. So, I mean, we our pitching, our bullpen held the game in check. We just really couldn't get anything going against their pitching. They were really good tonight.
So there he is, John Gibbons, and that's the story of the game, really. I mean, you want to talk about J.P. Arencibia, you want to talk about someone wants to blame Adam Lynn for crushing a ball into a double play in the third inning. Fine, but the truth of the matter is Blue Jays had 19 of their last 20 batters set down, and you're not going to win too many ball games when you only score one run. That's the way it works. Today, there are only 161 games left. It's going to be fine. More of your phone calls coming up. It is the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center, it's all over. Blue Jays fall 4-1 to the Cleveland Indians. They're 0-1 with 161 games to go. I'm Mike Wilner, and we're wrapping things up here. Let's take a look at the scoreboard, and what do you know? In Houston, the Texas Rangers are leading the Astros 5-0, and Yu Darvish is pitching a perfect game. Darvish has 12 strikeouts through 7 perfect innings. He's only thrown 93 pitches. We'll keep a good close eye on that one. Colorado and Milwaukee in a 4-4 tie in the top of the 7th. Arizona leads St. Louis 1-0 in the top of the 4th. Earlier today, the Orioles beat Tampa Bay 7-4. Tomorrow, Game 2 of 162. It'll be Brandon Morrow on the mound for the Blue Jays against the Tribe's righty Ubaldo Jimenez. We're on at 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware, homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Jack Morris, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Joe Sicilia, see you tomorrow.
The American League East is going to be an absolute battle. Get in the thick of it. The Blue Jays plan to. Toronto Blue Jays baseball continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Ground ball hit the shortstop. This will produce a run. Reyes backhand throws to first for the out. Coming in to score, Brantley, and Cleveland takes advantage of the pass balls, and they go out in front 1-0 here in the second inning as the runner Reynolds stays at second base.
That was a rough second inning for J.P. Arencibia. A couple of pass balls in that frame that led to one of those runs, but R.A. Dickey also gave up a couple of hits and a walk. And the Cleveland Indians took a 2-0 lead in that second inning, and that was all they needed because the Blue Jays only scored once. They fall 4-1 to the Cleveland Indians in a disappointing opening day. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. And, yeah, you're allowed to be disappointed. There was a ton of excitement, a ton of hype. You know, it's baseball, so really no one should expect a win on any given night. But it would have been nice, certainly. And a loss certainly doesn't set the tone for a season, especially with a team as good as this one is. Brad in Thornhill, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
How's it going?
All right.
Okay, I'm going to say one thing.
Sure.
Actually, two things.
All right.
I'm not worried. This is game one, okay? There's 161 more games. And as you said, half the teams who won their pennant lost their opening game last year? So
yeah,
there's something to go forward. But my one concern is your talk about J.P. Arencibia. I personally think he and Brett Laurie are two people who have to be controlled in that clubhouse. I think there is an issue there, and it shows with him saying he has to start and was insisting that he start opening day.
Well, first of all, you've never been in that clubhouse, right?
I'm not going to say if I have or I haven't, but...
Okay. Have you ever met either one of JP and Brett Laurie or seen how they interact with their teammates in the clubhouse?
Absolutely. I've had very much an experience to be around athletes for what I do for a living.
Okay.
So I am somebody who knows how athletes portray themselves and how they interact.
Do you believe that JP Arencibia has the power to demand to play in a specific game?
Do you follow him on Twitter?
Of course I follow him on Twitter. What does that have to do with anything?
Have you listened to some of his comments in the media that he has to start opening day just like he has to be part of this team or he has to be part of, you know, catching Dickey? Well, you talked a couple of minutes ago and people talked in the broadcast that most knuckleballers have their own catcher. Why couldn't that catcher start today?
Because J.P. Arencibia is about 1,000 times better offensively than Henry Blanco, A, and two, because Arencibia handled Dickey very well in the spring, and there was no reason not to start him today. It had nothing to do with his bluster or his demands or anything like that. Sorry, I know that's not what you wanted to hear, but that's the truth. J.P. Arencibia is in no position to demand a start. And, you know, as someone who talked to him a whole bunch of times throughout the spring, I can say that he never did that. He said that he felt he earned it, that he was going to work hard to earn it, and that he would be disappointed if he didn't start. And, yeah, he talked a lot, I know, in the winter when everybody and their mother thought they knew he was going to get traded. And he came back at them and told them they didn't know what they were talking about. And you know what? Turns out they didn't know what they were talking about because he didn't get traded. I kind of get the point you're trying to make. I think it's completely wrongheaded. Adam in London. Hello, Adam.
Hey there. Two quick questions.
Yeah.
One, when Brett Laurie comes back, hopefully sooner than later, where do you think they slot him into the lineup? Do you think it's top half, bottom half?
Bottom half.
And two,
yep.
Do you think there's going to be a transition period for Dickey to get accustomed to not having the pitcher to throw against? Now he's got a DH to deal with.
You know what? I don't think that you know requires a transition period. People move from the National League to the American League all the time. It's not like they're not aware that they no longer get to face a pitcher. And it's a tougher lineup when there's a DH in it. But I mean, the transition period, such as it is for Dickey, isn't going to be any different than the transition period for anybody else coming from the National League to the American League. Josh Johnson will go through the same thing. As far as Brett Laurie goes, bottom of the lineup when he comes back. Originally, in the top five is set. Maybe against lefties it'll be a little bit different. But the top five is set. And Laurie was originally going to hit sixth, but JP had such a great spring that he probably would have wound up hitting sixth anyway, even if Laurie had been healthy. So somewhere six, 7, 8. That's where Brett Laurie will hit.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. We have to listen to Andrew Nye because he's got an update and it's worth listening to. He'll tell you what's going on with you, Darvish, among other things. And then we will take more of your phone calls. As the Blue Jays talk continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
There's a fly ball hit the right field deep. Back for it goes Bautista. He's looking up into the seats. That ball lodges into the Cleveland bullpen. A two-run home run by Asdrubal Cabrera. So he tosses his bat into the ring with his fabulous play at short tonight. And Cleveland's out in front 4-1 here in the fifth.
And that was that. The Blue Jays got one hit after the third inning and lost 4-1 to the Cleveland Indians on a disappointing opening night here at the ballpark. But there are 161 left, and I guarantee you there are another 64 or so losses to go at the very least for your Toronto Blue Jays. Everything's going to be just fine. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. We're keeping our eye on Yu Darvish, who is perfect through 8 in Houston against the Astros. They're in the top of the 9th right now. Texas is leading Houston by a score of 5-0. Nobody out in the top of the 9th. So we'll see what happens with Yu Darvish. If we're still on, we will get you the info as soon as it happens. Adam is in London. We talked to Adam before the break. So, Mike in Toronto, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Just driving home from the game with my son. My son's 17, and this is our 12th straight home opener.
Nice.
You know, and a lot of these guys who think it's bad we lost tonight, you know, my son and I were ecstatic. I mean, he was born in 95, so he doesn't remember the real good teams of the early 90s. And I'll tell you, we can't wait for more of this season. Sure, a little disappointing tonight, but you know, great to see a real positive season on the horizon.
Where did you sit tonight, Mike?
We're in the 200 level. And actually, it seemed to be for all these opening nights we've gone to since he was young, didn't seem to see the same amount of drunk commotion or fights.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about, because it didn't seem like there were any fights in the stands. There were certainly no streakers or idiots running on the field or anything like that. It was, I guess maybe the game took the air out of people's sails, but people behaved tonight.
Yeah, they did, but you had the eighth inning, and you got people walk 4-1 game.
Yeah,
opening night, you got people walking out. Really, I thought that was a little much. But.
Well, hey, you remember? I remember in the glory days, 3-3 game after 9, and people would walk out.
Yeah, absolutely, I don't understand it. I don't get it. But
paid for 9 innings, right? So there you go.
Yeah. So, hey, what do you think? Gibbons got to take charge here with with Batista and Edwin kind of showing up the umpire. That after that 3-0 call that Jose didn't get, that 3-1 pitch, the pitcher could have rolled it there and he was going to get strike two. I mean, do you think that's an issue if these guys show up the umpires? Joey Bats is particularly bad.
Yeah, I think it's something that needs to be nipped in the bud. It hasn't gotten it as bad as it was in the early part of last season with Jose Bautista flipping the bat away on a pitch that he thought was a ball. I mean, that wasn't so bad. He did really let the umpire have it in the fifth inning after he struck out on a pitch that was probably low. But I don't think John Gibbons is going to let that thing get out of hand at all.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. That is great. Thanks for your time.
Hey, I appreciate the call. Dave is in Markham. Hello, Dave.
How you doing? I was just wondering if you think Lynn will be on a shorter leash this year now that they're contenders.
I think everyone who doesn't produce will be on a shorter leash this year because they're contenders. But I don't think, you know, that there's any reason not to think Adam Lynn's going to be a fine designated hitter against right-handed pitchers for this team. I mean, he's always hit righties reasonably well. He did very well last year after coming back from AAA. He hit, I think, .294 after his return from Las Vegas. I don't have any reason to doubt that Adam Lind is going to be very good.
I hope you're right.
Well, we'll find out, right?
Yeah, we will. Thank you.
Thank you. For the call. Appreciate it. We will take more of your calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590, working our way to 11 o'clock Eastern time when Jeff Sammet takes over with Sportsnet Tonight. And by the way, Jeff Sammet's show, Sportsnet Tonight at 11 o'clock, has Dwayne Ward and Tom Henke leading things off. So please stick around. And like I said, we'll get to more of your calls. But right now, let's listen in on R.A. Dickey's post-game meeting with the media. Dickey was a losing pitcher tonight. He gave up 4 runs, 3 earned on 5 hits and 6 innings. He walked 4, struck out 4, gave up a home run, threw a wild pitch. Here's R.A. Dickey.
R.A., was it a question of early on that you had too much movement on your knuckle, or how was it?
It was moving well. I mean, I don't – even the home run ball, I mean, it was a knuckleball that was up, but I didn't feel like I gave up very many hard-hit balls, and that's a sign of a lot of movement. And, you know, early on in particular, it was moving pretty violently right at the plate. And you saw that manifested and JP struggling with it a little bit. That's part of it. But to answer your question in short, it was moving pretty good.
You know, JP is probably a guy that's hard on himself, and he expects a lot out of himself. In your opinion, though, was that more because of the movement on your ball that was a little bit more than what he's seen up to this point?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, we're family in there, and you just try to stay positive, and it's a tough thing to do for anybody, even the guys that are really good at it. And JP's still learning. I mean, he's still learning and has great aptitude and a willingness to learn, and I'm sure he'll identify whatever it was that, inhibited him tonight and fix it. Sometimes you throw a good knuckleball, nobody's catching it. You know, it's just the way it is. But those happen, you know, once every couple of games. So we'll fix it. I mean, he's going to be fine.
All right, relative to your starts in spring training, how was the movement on the knuckleball tonight?
It was more. You know, I had more movement tonight than I had all of spring training. It's just the nature of some adrenaline, and the velocities were back up, and the dome's nice to throw in. I had, the release point was a struggle for me tonight a little bit because it was moving so much early. But I felt like I had a pretty good handle on it for most of the night. Again, you know, I think I walked 4 guys all of spring training. So that was an anomaly for me. But, you know, you got to have a workmanlike mentality in this game, and we'll get it right.
Are you saying then you're going to have to make some adjustments pitching in this park?
Sure, you got to make adjustments anywhere you are. You don't roll out of bed and just throw no hitters. You know, I mean, you're always got to, you know, you're always growing, you're always making adjustments, every new outing has its own problem set that you have to solve. And, you know, on another night, we win the game. You know, it's not like we pitched poorly as a staff tonight. I mean, we kept our team in the game. And on another night, you win. And then on another night, they'll pick us up when we don't pitch well. So it's just, you know, you wish it would have went different. You hope for it to be different. You know, opening night, everybody's here, full of energy. But the nature of this game is it's a marathon, and you can't panic. And nobody in there is panicking. You know, we want to win the series. Yep.
All right. There's been buildup for this game since November, since the first trade, and it's only increased in the anticipation in the city. How much did you feel that coming into the start, and how do you approach taking the mound with that kind of energy around you?
That's a good question. You know, tonight was a real special night for me. Sure, because it was an opening night, but I the welcome that I got from the fans was borderline supernatural. I mean, it was pretty awesome. Again, you deep down, you want so badly to give them a great show, and you want to entertain them, and you want to pitch a one-hitter and all that. But I think everybody that came tonight understands that we've got a pretty good ball club, and the season is not won or lost on opening night. So I certainly appreciated that. It was very touching.
There he is, R.A. Dickey, and there you go. He appreciated the welcome he got from the fans. He comes out to the Imperial March, Darth Vader's theme from Star Wars, which is awesome. And I think I'm going to really enjoy that over the next 3 years. But very level-headed, R.A. Dickey, said all the right things. He really did. We have a couple of minutes to take some more of your phone calls, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. And we've got Jesse Litch on the line. Jesse, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
What's up, man? How you doing?
How you doing, sir?
Just hanging out, watching a little baseball, watching Yu Darvish about to throw a perfect game, hopefully.
Yeah, we're keeping our eye on that one, too. Going to the ninth inning, facing the bottom of the order. Did you watch this one?
Yeah, man. I'm reading on Twitter a bunch of everyone's panic button already. It's day one. It's the long season. You know, people got to realize obviously there was a lot of emotions going on in day one at the stadium. It looked awesome, but you know it's something that everyone has to sit back and wait, because the team obviously is going to be exceptionally good. I mean, just by who's on the team, for sure.
Yeah, you just look at the changes that they made in the offseason, and legitimately, this is one of the best teams in the league. I think that there's, you know, they brought a lot of fans back who haven't really been around baseball for a long time, and it's no matter how many times you're told how much of a marathon it is, it's tough when there's that much hype and you expect people are expecting this team to win every game. It just can't happen like that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it was great from, you know, me being over here. I mean, a couple of years ago when we had a chance to make the playoffs, everything was stadium was packed. You know, hopefully it stays like that. I mean, the fans are there. It's just a matter of coming to the game, going to the ballpark. It's a lot easier to play in your home stadium when there's a ton of people there, that's for sure, especially when it's loud.
And it was, at least to start today. Jesse Litch is with us, breaking up a little bit. So how are you keeping? How's the arm? How's the shoulder?
It's hanging on there. It's still there, you know, just working through it and trying to make it back. I had a surgery never been done, so it's a slow process.
Is there any sort of timetable for when you might be in position to hook on with somebody?
I'm just trying to make it to winter ball at this point and go to winter ball and show I can get some hitters out and still got it. And then, you know, whatever happens there, I just told the doctors, I said, just get me back throwing again and best, and you know, I'm hoping for.
Well, we're hoping for the same thing too, Jesse. You're a tremendous guy, class act all the way, and we wish you only the best. And it's awesome that you called this show tonight. Thank you so much.
No problem. No problem. We'll do it again for sure.
All right, great. That's Jesse Litch calling in on the Blue Jays talk, a tremendous final caller here on opening night. The Blue Jays lose 4-1 to the Cleveland Indians, but back tomorrow to do it again. Two out in the bottom of the ninth in Houston. Yu Darvish is one out away from a perfect game. The Rangers lead the Astros 7-0. Andrew Nye will tell you what happened. Thanks to Tom Young, to Joe Sicilia, to Derek Brandeo, to all of you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Pretty special day. It'll be Brandon Morrow against Ubaldo Jimenez. See you at 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch. I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Rogers Center.